Got a question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Rudy, Robert, and Mary anytime on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at RM World Travel. Now, back to RM World Travel.
Nice to have you in the house with us today. I'm Rudy Maxa, and you're listening to RM World Travel, and this portion of the program is sponsored by MightyMuscadine.com. With all the hoopla surrounding back to school, one of the things to send your kids off with for their lunch or snack each day is a delicious bottle of the award-winning, all-natural, 100% Muscadine grape juice. That's the best-tasting grape juice you've ever had. It comes in convenient 10-ounce bottles that fit easily into any lunchbox or backpack. We love knowing that so many of you in our audience are now enjoying the great products from MightyMuscadine.com, and now your kids can too each day. The Muscadine grape is the king of the superfruits, and it delivers more than 100 antioxidants. And in addition to their 10-ounce bottles of juice, they also offer a full line of clinically tested products, including a daily supplement to support heart health and reduce inflammation, healthy energy shots with extracts from the muscadine grape that are infused with green coffee. Another great item if your child plays an after-school sport and needs a little pick-me-up. They even offer a dip called the Ryan Express that's safe to use as it contains all it contains are crushed muscadine seeds and honey. Whatever products you choose, as a member of our audience, you'll get free shipping direct to your door when you order at MightyMuscadine.com. You'll also find a link at RMWorldTravel.com. That's the show's website under sponsors, as always. We're going to have a little fun the next 10 minutes with our guest, Richard Rutte. Rutte is his name. It's spelled R-A-T-A-Y, and I'll tell you that because I'll give you his website eventually. And he's got a new book out. So for our Write Stuff segment, we're going to look at this book, and I think this will resonate with a lot of you all out there. It certainly does with me. The book is called Don't Make Me Pull Over, An Informal History of the Family Road Trip. Mr. Rutte, welcome to the show. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me on, Rudy. Great to be here.
Well, I got such a kick out of your book because I'm gathering you're coming on to 50 years old, I gather, from reading the book and doing some addition and subtraction. And you grew up along with a whole lot of baby boomers for whom road trips were the way one took family vacations. Tell me a little about your dad and some of the things he did, because they certainly mirror some of the things my father did.
Well, my dad was an avid golfer, so the point of our family vacations was usually to get him out of the cold Wisconsin winter where we lived and down to a warm and sunny golf course somewhere along the Gulf Coast as fast as humanly possible. And, you know, it's funny, in doing the research for my book, I came across the fact that there were basically two types of dads. They fell into one of two categories. One were the dads that were all about making time. They just wanted to get to the destination, even if it was, you know, the evening's motel, as quickly as possible. And they weren't about to stop for anything. You know, even if one of us had to go to the bathroom, he wasn't about to stop and pull over or you know, he'd try and have a skip meal. And then there were the other types of dads who would stop at every roadside attraction, you know, the world's largest ball of twine or alligator farms or anything that they'd pass along the way, historical landmarks and whatnot. But my dad was certainly in the first category. So we usually made a beeline from where we lived in Milwaukee and tried to get through. We got up early in the morning at 3 a.m. to try and dodge that Chicago traffic. And we would try to dart down south as fast as humanly possible, making good time all along the way.
I feel your pain, because I had an Army colonel for a father, and we had to get up at 3 o'clock, too, not to 3 a.m., too, for all car trips. Not to dodge Chicago traffic specifically, but to dodge all traffic. And I would say to my father, why don't we leave at 9:30 to avoid all the traffic? Army colonels don't go along with that. There were lots of other things. And this shared with my father. What did you call it? You call it the E question or the E issue?
Yes, the Battle of E.
The Battle of E. Explain that.
Yes, the E, of course, stood for empty on the gas gauge. And because my dad was all about making time, he wanted to stretch every tank full of gasoline to the absolute limit because he didn't want to have to make any more stops than necessary. So this became an ongoing point of contention between my mother and my father. Of course, my mom wanted to refill basically whenever we got below half a tank just to be on the safe side. And, of course, in the 1970s, there weren't just the number of exits with service stations that there are today. So it was a little bit more risky proposition that you would come across a gasoline station when you really needed one. My dad believed in his heart of hearts that even when the low fuel light came on or the needle struck E, that there were still 40 miles worth of gasoline left in the gas tank. And believe me, he put that little theory of his to the test on many occasions.
What did he base this theory on?
I think it was just past experience, because he had pushed it so many times. He kind of arrived at the idea that, yeah, there's got to be about 40 miles worth of gasoline, because, you know, he'd always made it in the past, and he'd continued to make it many times, much to our collective dismay. You know, although I was convinced we were usually pulling up to the gas pump on nothing but the last bit of fumes left in the carburetor.
But it did catch up with him, didn't it?
Yes, it did. On one rainy, dark night on a lonely stretch of interstate in Arkansas, right when we saw the gas station that we were headed to kind of appear on the horizon, all of a sudden all the power in the car went out, and he kind of had to, you know, navigate the car off to the side of the road, and he wound up having to take a long, lonely walk off to that gas station to get a couple of cans of gasoline to bring back.
Did that cure him?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That settled the issue, amazingly enough. So, but it was kind of a melancholy moment for us, because, you know, we've gone through these nervous times as a family so many times in the past. It became kind of a family tradition. But once that happened, he had no leg to stand on in any debate with my mother. So we wound up having to get gas, you know, right when we were on a quarter tank.
Your trips weren't always easy. There were four children in the family?
Yes, I was the youngest of four kids, so there were six of us in a car.
And you would often sleep, before the days of seatbelts, up in the underneath the back window on that ledge, right?
That's right, yeah, because I was in the back seat with two hulking teenage brothers who were much older than me. So they were basically in a two-man fight to claim as much territory as each of them could in the back seat, leaving none for me. So I had two choices. I could go down on the floorboard and have to, you know, try and nap with that hump of the transmission housing sticking into my gut, or I preferred to go up on the rear window ledge, where it was almost like a little private loft apartment up there, right? I could lay out on that nice, expanse of felt. I had nothing but a nice glass skylight above me. Of course, you're looking up through that radio antenna that was built into the glass at those times. Right. And it was kind of like having a nice private space up there, so it gave me a nice view of the road as well.
All right, we've only got 3 minutes left, Richard. Tell me when the worm turned. When did car trips, for many people, get replaced by airplane trips?
Yeah, kind of the golden era of road trips died out with deregulation of the airlines under the Carter administration in 1978. Until then, all the airlines had been so heavily regulated by the government, they kind of kept airfares artificially high. In fact, until 1975, 80% of Americans had never flown at all, because airfares were so expensive. But after deregulation was passed, you saw the plummeting of airfares. Soon families started just leaving their cars in the parking lots at airports and boarding on those airplanes and flying off to whatever destinations they wanted to travel to. And that kind of left those great experiences of the great family road trips behind.
Richard Rattay is my guest. He's author of a brand new book called Don't Make Me Pull Over. I love that title. I wondered why you didn't call it Are We There Yet? But then I looked up on Google Books, and there's a lot with that name. This is Richard's book is an informal history of the family road trip. We've only got about a minute left with him, but it's a fascinating book. But I noticed you talked about your family like to stay at Holiday Inns and Ramadas. What about Howard Johnson's and all those flavors of ice cream?
Yeah, well, Howard Johnson's was, you know, they were for a while the world's largest hospitality chain, but they were predominantly an East Coast phenomenon. So we didn't actually run into them much coming out of the Midwest as we did. But as you pointed out, Howard Johnson's kind of made their name. Howard Johnson himself developed 28 different flavors of ice cream. Of course, he came up with a menu of comfort food favorites, including those signature clam strips. And his big thing was that he basically invented franchising and bought the exclusive rights to build those Howard Johnsons at travel plazas on turnpikes and highways. And so that's why they became a very favorite stop for families while out traveling.
Well, I learned so much in your book. I learned that bicycles, not the automobile, led to better roads in the United States. I learned about the first car accident in 1896 when a car hit a bike in New York City, breaking the rider's leg. I learned about AAA starting. If you are interested in road trips, or if you took road trips, or you want to see how we lived back in the 50s and 60s, who developed the radar speed gun, who invented cruise control, which state issues the most speeding tickets, the history of triptychs, the history of Stuckey's, this is the book for you. It's called Don't Make Me Pull Over. It's written by Richard Rattay, R-A-T-A-Y, and you can find more information at his website, which is richardrattaywrites.com. Richard, thanks so much for stopping by. Great book, great fun to read, highly anecdotal. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me on, Rudy.
Robert and Mary will be right back with more travel.
Today's edition of RM World Travel is coming right back, and you can also stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.